Welcome back to the KPI Cafe, where conversations happen that are hell-bent on elevating automotive retail. As always, I'm your host, Dane Seville. And well, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank my sponsor, Reunion Marketing, a full-service digital marketing agency specializing in SEO, SEM, and social media. And well, as a little bonus, as a faithful listener, I'm happy to provide you with a free, no-obligation digital marketing audit that will help you better understand where you're doing great and where you need some help. So at the very least, you are armed with the knowledge to hold your internal team or vendor partner more accountable. Well, with that being said, let's get ready to rumble with today's topic. Let's get it started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it may be. I hope my voice reaches you well. And speaking of well, feeling well, I'm finally feeling well again. I had my third bout of pancreatitis. If you don't know what that is, basically your pancreas releases enzymes into your stomach to help digest food. Now, when you have pancreatitis, that means your pancreas is like inflamed and it's like releasing those enzymes ahead of time or when they're not needed. And those enzymes are like kind of toxic and it hurts really, really bad. I've broken bones. I've torn muscle. I've had concussions. I've gone through all sorts of things. I'll tell you what, pancreatitis is probably the worst pain I have ever felt. It's like, you know, if you like take an organ and you put it into a vise and you have that vise squeeze it as hard as it can, that's kind of what it feels like, right? It's like the worst cramping ever. It's just indescribable. So yeah, so I was dealing with that for a few days. I was working from a reclined position for much of the, you know, past few days. In the past, it was actually 3 days before my wedding. It was the first time I ever had pancreatitis. And I didn't know what was going on. So I had to get checked into the hospital, right? So I went to the emergency room. And for the 3 days leading up to my wedding, I was actually in the hospital, got discharged the day before. So needless to say, you know, hey, whenever you, when people talk about, you know, like bride-to-be being put, you know, to the test, being put under pressure, the groom-to-be, you know, being bedridden in a hospital, kind of a bit of a test for you. I don't recommend it, right? I don't recommend getting sick right before your wedding. But anyway, who would ever say otherwise? So I'm feeling much better. I hope none of you ever experience what that is. But, you know, so now we're doing well. And speaking of doing well, I feel like Colin Carasquillo did well last week in diving into Google Marketing Live and you know, topics that shot off of that as well. So, you know, we're actually going to dive right into that. Normally, each week I do a pause and we do a what's going on in auto segment, but we're gonna skip that. We're going to get right into it because it's another, you know, 20, 25 minute segment. And I don't want the content to be too long for KPI Cafes. I want them to be like for your car drive into work, for, you know, while you're working out for a half hour, 45 minutes. So for this time, we're just going to quickly bypass that just for this week only. And then we're actually going to take a break for a week or two. I'm going to kind of reset, think things over, you know, kind of not reinvent the wheel. That's not the right thing to say. See, sometimes when you're doing a podcast and you're doing it live, you know, you say things and you're like, you know, I shouldn't have said that. That's not what I'm trying to get at. We're just going to kind of get a new slate of guests set. We're going to get new what's going on automotive set. So I know we already took like a week or two break just a few weeks ago, I told you, but we're gonna take another break just to kind of, you know, kind of hit a reset, right? You know, you keep on it, and you can kind of get, you know, not tired out of it, but it takes a lot, right? It takes a lot to put this all together. So we'll take a quick, probably like 2 week break again, let you get kind of reset as well. And we're going to be back with KPI Cafe. So let's get right into the second part of the interview with Colin. Getting as much data as possible to collect to really make the best possible decisions. Let's see. What is another good topic here that we hit on? Oh, here we go. How about the deprecation of the cookies? Bye-bye, cookie. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, bye-bye. The cookie monster's coming and eating all the cookies. You know, I think, as I mentioned earlier with GA4, the implications that this has on the space, you know, you need to be really well versed in GA4 to feed your ad accounts with Google Ads, you know, and that's Google being in its own ecosystem with cookies. I don't think dealers understand, or maybe if they do, and that's great that they do, how much of our advertising actually operates based upon someone being cookied or pixeled and us retargeting them that way. I know there are a couple vendor partners of mine, and I'm sorry when I'm going to have the conversation with them, because if they don't know a way to adapt to that environment, they're going to go bye-bye, because their sole business model is built upon cookieing someone. So with cookies going away, the importance goes on your first-party data. And when I say first-party data, it's what's in the dealer's CRM, okay? So Mr. or Mrs. Dealer who's listening, or marketer, that data you guys have is your first party data. Now you get your first party data by, of course, doing all these different types of advertising, things like that, to get that information from that customer. But someone who's on, you know, and I'll just, whatever, Edmunds.com or Autotrader.com or Kelley Blue Book, just so people understand this, the users that are on those sites, that's their data, okay? And that's in their respective ecosystems. We don't have any access to that aside from the fact if you're paying to be on those websites. And then in theory, you may or may not get that opportunity to get that customer's information because they saw a vehicle of yours that they liked and they said, let me submit my information to that dealer. You got to think about it the same way with these other platforms. Google, okay? Biggest powerhouse probably when it comes to advertising in the automotive space, followed by, of course, Meta, Facebook, as we all know. They each have their own first-party data. Once again, we don't have any access to that unless from the campaigns that we're utilizing on those sources, we get that customer's information, right? And then it goes into our CRM. Now it's our first-party data. So you need to leverage your first-party data from your CRM, upload it into these respective platforms like Meta, like Google, in order for them to now, utilizing their ecosystems, find the customers that you may have or may not have in your database, and they'll find them on their platforms to hopefully get them back to your dealership to convert. But the thing is, with privacy, you're never going to know who that person is. Gone are the days where you could match, you know, let's say it was Dane. Gone are the days where I could literally find Dane Seville's profile on Facebook, know that Dane Seville was the guy I served the ad to and ultimately was the guy that converted. We're not going to know that because of privacy metrics and matters, you know, that have obviously evolved over time. But you need to trust that those systems are doing what they say they're going to do. You upload your information for them to then find that customer or find like customers to then get back to your dealership. It's crazy. I mean, I said this to our general manager, not to be so long-winded. I said this to our general manager in a meeting the other day, and he just said, I can't believe that I'm in a time where like this is what is happening. You know, it's so data-driven and everything we're doing is becoming so digital, right? It's so digital heavy that really without this information, without embracing your first party data, you're going to have a really hard time operating your business. I mean, truly.
Absolutely. I tried to watch as much as I could. And of course, I've taken calls and other things going on. You know how it is. There was something about audience insights with first party data too, that Google is going to start leveraging in analytics to help you understand what conversions and behaviors mm-hmm. from that first party data. Did you catch that part of it?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just something that from some time speaking with Google and from what I've seen about GA4, there actually is, and I want to put it in the chat just so you could see it, but there are training certifications that you can just take on your own time for GA4. And so I will get that to Dane so Dane can get it all to you guys. But it's really great information. You take it on your own time. Literally, you can say, I have 5 minutes or I have 20 minutes or 60 minutes, and it's just about learning GA4. Highly recommend you guys do it. But the fact of the matter is within that, you'll learn about, like you said, audience segments. What that's going to do is it gives you a much better idea of who your customer is. So taking that first party data, now understanding the actual person behind the data. So it's not just Colin Carasquillo anymore. You know, it might be Colin Carasquillo, but based upon all of my activity on Google, which they still know because it's their ecosystem. Don't forget that. It's not like they're losing, you know, the ability to know who you are. It's just the communication between all the different systems. You know, they'll be able to know that, okay, here's a, you know, 30-year-old guy who enjoys X, Y, and Z, you know, is not married, doesn't have any kids yet, but we'll start showing all of those different components based upon those audience segments. And you can utilize that to feed your campaigns moving forward, but really it's just kind of an idea to show who is that customer profile, where is that customer interacting, to inform the other marketing decisions that you might want to make in the future. You know, if you see that majority of your people in those audience segments are, you know, outdoorsy types, well, now you know, hey, I should probably start marketing on some of these outlets or start building campaigns based upon, you know, the fact that the shopper is an outdoorsy shopper. You know, try to figure out ways to incorporate that into the campaigns that you're running.
Awesome. I'll tell you what, I'm looking at my computer right now. I have about 14 tabs open of different Google Skill Shop courses.
There you go.
So I've been reading like from Moz to Search Engine Land, everyone like to kind of distill everything about GA4 before I like dive into like all the unique topics that Google offers in their courses. But yeah, I have like 14 different tabs open that I still have yet to really dig through and get through. But definitely take advantage of all those resources.
You have your homework ahead.
That's it. Let's hit on two more things.
Okay.
Another topic. Performance Max campaigns.
Super interesting, because this ties into all the events and conversions that we talked about. So I will say, I'm going to give Facebook a little bit of a credit on this, because I believe and I feel like Facebook, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you guys know more than I about Facebook was really the first, I think, platform that set up different campaigns based upon the actual, you know, goal that you wanted to complete. So it was like website clicks or, you know, form fills or whatever. I think Performance Max campaigns, Google, kind of said, hey, this is not half bad idea over here. You know, what this company Meta's doing, right? Like, let's see if we can do something a little bit similar or better. And so Performance Max campaigns are just that. I mean, ultimately, you can set up campaigns based upon the conversions that you're looking for. You click whatever conversion you want. Very easy for, at least from Google side of it, how they set them up. I will say I have not tried them yet. But ultimately, if you are looking for phone calls, if you are looking for form fills, if you are looking for test drive schedules, whatever your dealership's looking for, apparently with the Performance Max campaigns, you'll literally be able to say, boom, that's what I'm looking for. Here's the amount of money you have. Go get it for me, and they will go get it for you.
Yeah. I love the idea that it's actually kind of a lead into the last sort of speed round was, you know, there's human oversight where you're looking at the creative assets, you're giving them the creative assets, because the more creative you give them, the more Google properties that they can show up, the ads can show up on. You know, you look at the data and with all that input, you can make strategic decisions, but that human oversight is coupled with automation, right?
Oh yeah.
So with automation Performance Max campaigns, you know, things are automated using, you know, whether it's aligned with those conversion opportunities that you're coming up with. Just like you said, you have that goal in mind, you come up with that conversion opportunity and the automation of Google helps read all that data and take what you have to try to deliver the best possible content 100%. To consumers. And I like the insights you can get from it. I think it's like, I'm trying to look at my notes here. Search trends, consumer interest insights, persona insights.
Right.
So a lot of insights you can mine from Performance Max campaigns. And the last thing today was Google talked about Performance Max being a part of Optimization Score, which I need to dig more into that, because that was part of that conversation in Google Marketing Live that I missed. But I heard them say tying in Performance Max with Optimization Score.
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things that, you know, ties into that, as you had mentioned with their machine learning and automation, is the new text of the ads themselves is actually going to be pulling information from your dealership site. So for those that build out campaigns, God bless you guys, because that is a very, very tough job, especially when you need to, you know, constantly be changing and adapting campaigns. And I know there's some machine learning that happens now behind the scenes, but ultimately, you know, people are still there if you are building out campaigns and things like that. I mean, you guys probably at Reading Marketing know how tricky that can be. And in order to get the best results, you need to really have your pulse on what's going on at all times at a dealership specifically, you know, what their goals are, changing that ad copy. And of course, there's parts of it that are dynamic and things like that, but still the setting up the campaign is the real meat and potatoes. So there's a lot that goes into that. With the Performance Max campaigns, but like we said, more so just telling, you know, the machine, I'll call it the machine, the AI, to go and get those opportunities. But now you need to understand that that machine, the artificial intelligence, is going to be scouring your dealership's website, as well as other dealership websites, or websites in general. I shouldn't just say dealership websites, because this is a marketing podcast, but, you know, websites, and taking whatever relevant text is on that site, serving it in those ad results, and ultimately why that is going to impact your optimization scores on not only your ads, but think about it from a SEO perspective. You need to have the most relevant content, or content that actually speaks to the question that a person is asking. And now when that ad is served, why the optimization score will either be good or bad is because if you are answering that respective question with whatever text you have on your website, boom, now you have the most relevant result for people. They're most likely going to engage with it, because not only is it the most relevant result, it's answering their questions. You know, it's going to be in a geography that hopefully is close to them, right? Taking all these factors in that Google utilizes. But yeah, it's really it in a nutshell. Optimization score is based upon the content that's in the actual search result itself. So we'll see how it develops. I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely. Now, I think the fact that this update sort of, you know, it's pulling that content and from the site and things like that, is that I think that should help alleviate the concern. I've talked to dealers who go, listen, with Google Business Profile and cars for sale and everything, they're keeping them on Google. What's the point of my website? Well, the point of the website is, I think Google's going to still rely on a lot of that extra really content heavy pieces that you have to continue to innovate, to drive better and better performance for the different products page strategies that they have.
Yeah. What I will say though, and then I think, you know, it's a great topic to end on, but like you said, it's the unknown, but dealers saying, well, why do I even need my dealership website anymore? I'll leave you with this. And this is kind of the analogy that I've been using. This is the analogy I will continue to use. And even with conversations with Google, dealers need to understand, okay, you have your brick and mortar dealership, right? It's been around, it's lasted, it's tried and true. Then, of course, there was the advent of the internet. So what happened was you had your brick and mortar dealership, and then you had your 24/7, 365 showroom, which was your dealership website. Then along came a thing called Google My Business, now just Google Business Listings. You need to think of it as the digital side door to your dealership. Not only do you need your brick and mortar store, not only do you need your dealership website, but now you need to be cognizant of your digital side door, your Google Business Listing. Understand that the Google Business Listings, and as you just mentioned, campaigns, are still fed by things that are on your dealership website, like your inventory and kind of all these other things that people are saying, well, why do I need that anymore? Well, if you didn't have those, you couldn't feed these other things, which are now super relevant. But what I will say, there's gotta be something in the works there at Google where you're looking at the grand scheme or the bigger picture with Google Business Listings. I have direct ways to contact the business. I have everything about geography, right? Google Maps, it's all tied in together. I have inventory listed for sale. I now have a thing called VLAs where I could just serve my ads right on the top. I then have search, you know, ads, which have been tried and true. I have my organic results. I mean, come on now. You got to think the next iteration for Google, especially since they're keeping everyone in their ecosystem with their first party data and how Google ads are going to function moving forward. I think some sort of retailing is imminent. And, you know, whether I go on record now at the recording saying, I think eventually Google is going to come out with a retailing tool where people probably won't need to go to a dealership website, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have one. But ultimately, look at the bigger picture. I think the writing's on the wall. Google is trying to put as much information on Google as possible. And that's because that's Google's goal, is to actually answer all these questions to reduce the friction, to reduce the amount of clicks. How do they do it? They put it all on their website, or, you know, their search engine.
Absolutely. I should have caveat what I said. I should have said it's not like next year, maybe even 3 years.
No, it's coming though.
I totally agree with you. The other argument I would have, I need to kind of really formulate my thoughts better around this, was when I read more about Google's EAT, expertise, authority, trustworthiness, is they're telling a lot of delivering results based on entities, right? The more entities you have online, the more sort of digital fingerprints you have, Facebook, you know, different social media accounts, different things, the more they're tying into that expertise, authority, and trustworthiness because you're demonstrating in different platforms, in different modes, in different means, that you are the expert for this particular for this particular topic. So I think the website will still be one of those entities they'll leverage to kind of establish those EAT principles, but really need to dig into it more. That's just sort
that's another topic for another conversation. And I love it because I think, like I said, you can honestly, there's so much to dive into, and just how the future of our industry will be when it ties in with the digital side of it. But yeah, that also just goes to show you need to have your pulse as a marketer, as a dealer, on really everything, and to have you know, all of those different platforms set up. I think that's probably hits the nail on the head, Dane, is that Google's looking for the person who is the most active, providing the most relevant information. And that's what happens when you're managing all those different platforms, you know, whether it's Facebook, like you said, Instagram, obviously being owned by Meta/Facebook, all of your different dealer profiles. I mean, that's what they're looking for. You're absolutely right. 100%.
I've kept you longer than I said I was going to, and we've talked. And I've enjoyed the conversation. I might this might just be a two-parter, so I'm good with that.
I think we should do that. I love it.
I want to get your last thought on final topic is what I had. And whenever I talked about Performance Max, I said there was a tie in there because it said human oversight with automation. What are your thoughts on automation?
I think automation enables the human overseer, if you will, to essentially get more things done than they would ever be able to do. I think, you know, with Performance Max campaigns, you need to understand that the machine learning and whatever sort of version of AI it is, because it's really not full AI yet, right? That's when like iRobot and the robots take over. but ultimately, the automation, be open to it, because what it's doing is it's going to make hundreds of combinations of different ads and optimize those ads in a matter of seconds. And a human is just not capable of doing that. They would not be able to do that. And so, you know, for the machine to say, okay, I'm going to analyze this website, and within that 1 second, 2 second, whatever it is, millisecond, who knows, to make 500 ads, all different variations of the ad, and then learn which one performs the best while making more ads. Why wouldn't you want to use that? And it's going to optimize itself. That's what it's meant to do. Yes, you're paying for something, but they need to provide results. And when I mean they, it's the people that you're paying. So in this sense, Google, with their Performance Max campaigns, you know, they're in it to make money. It's not a crime to make a small profit, right? So that's what they're doing. They're saying, hey, if you're going to pay us for this service, which we do as dealers to get results back for us, they're going to provide results. And that's how they'll do it, is utilizing that technology, which can smoke my brain.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. You know, discern what automation can do and let it do that busy work. Right. And then you can better dive into the data and analyze and do things humans can do that AI can't quite yet.
Right.
Colin Carasquillo, Nielsen Automotive Group. Always love talking to you. I kept you a lot longer than I said I was
going to. I apologize, because I know you're like, we got to keep it short.
No, it's all good. Thank you again for joining the KPI Cafe. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I got my mug right here. We'll see you next time, guys. Tune into the KPI Cafe.
All right, everyone, you stay tuned, Jane, because I'm going to talk what's going on next week. Well, I hope you got value out of part two of Rapid Fire, Google Marketing Live. I know I, of course, did it. I always enjoy talking to Colin. So as I said at near the top of the show, we're going to take a brief hiatus just to kind of get those guests set, get what's going on in the automotive set, and be back and better than ever. So I hope you have a great few weeks here, and I'll be back talking to you soon.